Hey friends, I'm Ash.
I'm Elle.
We are Lobby Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say. Today we have one of our sort of competition episodes, but really it's science.
Science.
Science. Yes. We are going to talk about something that kind of boggles all of our minds, especially those of us that participate in contests, and it's the concept of why people cheat in contests.
I find this really fascinating, so I'm excited that we get to share.
Yeah, this was a rabbit hole I didn't expect to go down, and it was a wild ride.
Surprise!
Because there's actually a lot of scientific reasoning as to why this happens, and a lot of like sociocultural and psychological studies on why people feel the need to cheat. And I didn't expect the rabbit hole that I went through, but it was great.
Excellent.
And now we get to share it all with you, lovely listeners.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Because science.
Because science.
So when we started researching for this episode, I kept thinking about the kids that I work with at the clinic, because children initially will start out not understanding the benefit of a game unless they win, right? Like that, you see that with kids all the time. Kid plays a game, kid gets upset because kid didn't win, and they don't see the benefit of playing the game unless they're winning, right? When I would ask the kids why they want to win so bad, they typically tell me that it feels good to win and it sucks to lose, that you don't get anything from losing. And really, they want the recognition of winning the game. Like, that's the rush. That's the high, right? And since a lot of them are young enough or socially, they don't understand the benefit of just playing with your friends, they're not getting that concept that there's value in just playing a game, right?
I mean, there's a reason why, even as adults, bragging rights are a thing.
Exactly. Like, yes, it's more fun to win, but there's a value in playing the game as a whole. Like I said, all kids go through this stage. With my clients, because they have, like, behavioral issues or self-esteem issues or neurodivergent diagnoses that kind of make this pattern harder to break even when they get older, they don't necessarily get the social implication of playing a game. They just need that immediate reward because it's too tempting. It's also a nice hit of dopamine for a lot of them. So for our kiddos who are neurodivergent, who need that constant input of dopamine, winning the game feels really, really good. And so then losing feels extra bad for them. And I think as we discuss this, I think it's good to keep in mind that due to the population that frequents conventions, some of these adults that attend conventions may still have some of these behavioral patterns and lack of understanding of social norms that some of my clients do. Because some people, especially if they have certain diagnoses, don't learn the value of just participating with others. Or they just don't get a value out of it. And that does come into play in some of this research as far as like why people like to cheat in contests.
I like it. Let's go.
All right. We're ready to go down this rabbit hole.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, and I will put all my links in the show notes as we always do. So you can deep dive into these scientific articles if you want to. But a lot of them are a lot of science mumbo-jumbo, so just FYI. But
science mumbo-jumbo.
Well,
that's very technical terminology you're using right there.
The science-y words. There's lots of science-y words in these. But psychologists have discovered that the memory of what it feels like to win is actually what instigates cheating. So a lot of people, and even if they haven't won at like a cosplay contest, that knowledge and that feeling of winning often is what instigates the desire to cheat. Ash is giving me a real confused face right now.
No. I'm following along.
You're following? Okay. So we're going to get into some neurotransmitters here. But when you win, testosterone increases, which then increases dopamine, which is known as your, like, happy neurotransmitter. And so your pal dopamine is linked to like motivation, attention, concentration, drive. This is what people with ADHD lack, as we've talked about before. And so winning and that hit of dopamine knocks down your stress hormone levels and you get this sense of relief. You get this high, essentially. And so that creates a level of emotional satisfaction that is quite intense that you may not be able to get very often in other ways. So it's very much this like, oh, that felt great. I need to do it again. That felt great. I need to do it again. And so for some people, that need becomes so great that they're willing to kind of bend and break the rules in order to get it again. But we also know that sometimes people feel like they are entitled to things.
No.
That never happens, right?
Say it ain't so.
People never come in and behave as though they are entitled to an award or entitled to compete at a convention or entitled to compete in a competition.
People never come into the judging room automatically expecting that they're going to win and definitely flaunt that fact.
Oh, no, never. That never happens.
Never happens.
No. Psychological entitlement is the feeling that one is more deserving of preferential treatment than other people. For some people, once they have won, or maybe they've put in the effort, quote unquote, they feel they are entitled to special treatment or entitled to the win itself. So you will see this a lot where people will talk about like how hard they worked at a contest and how they felt they should have won something because they worked so hard.
Everybody worked hard.
Exactly. You'll also see this a lot with contestants who win at the same contest frequently, and they'll feel like they're entitled to win every year.
Yep, that's mine.
Yes, and then they'll get really upset when they don't. What ends up starting to happen is people will behave dishonestly as long as they do not violate their perception of themselves as an honest individual. So if they feel that the end justifies the means, they can psychologically justify cheating to balance out their entitlement. So if they feel that I am the one who is supposed to have this award, then any behavior that comes after that is justified because they were entitled to this win. And we know we've seen this before.
I'm checking off so many boxes in my head from the judging room. Wow. I know.
When I was doing this research, there were multiple people that came to my head where I was like, yep. 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 You see this a lot when someone like constantly tries for the same contest and then doesn't win. And so then you'll see it on social media where it'll be like, oh my God, I did it again. I didn't win. And this is so horrible. And I worked so hard. And then sometimes you'll see people lash out at other people. And that's where this kind of balance comes from. You also won't always see the cheating during the contest. You will sometimes see it happen afterward or before, whether it be someone trying to talk someone out of entering contest or trying to get them disqualified after the fact, which I've definitely seen butthurt contestants try to get people disqualified after the fact because they felt they were more entitled to that win. All of that falls into their moral compass because they feel like due to X, they were entitled to Y.
Yep.
And so it's not violating their perception of honesty and morality, and therefore they feel justified in the behavior. And for those of us that don't participate in this behavior, this is very hard to wrap your mind around because you're just like, that's not how life works.
I've definitely seen it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen this at pretty much any convention we participated in. This happens in some fashion. So then this kind of goes into what is known as ethical blindness, where a person appears unaware of the moral implications of a decision and maybe feeling they're like doing the right thing in the moment.
It's a chaotic good.
Chaotic good, yes. So they feel like they're doing the right thing in the moment. The person views that the gain is more important than the ethical results of the decision, right?
Yeah, the means.
Exactly. So your ethical decision is justified because their self-image isn't damaged. So it's not hurting them. You'll see this sometimes when people will post on a forum and they'll go, hey, I competed with X costume. I did XYZ. I feel like I should be able to compete again with X. And it's them trying to get others to assist in justifying that blindness. And then they'll keep arguing with you as to why they should still be allowed to do it.
Yeah, they're not looking actually for an honest opinion. What they're seeking is validation for the behavior that they know is probably not okay.
Yes, and that's ethical blindness in a lot of cases, where you're trying to justify this so that it won't hurt your self-image. And if they can find one person that says, oh yeah, that's okay, then it becomes that person's responsibility when it becomes not okay.
Well, so-and-so said that, you know, I asked around and people said this and...
So it's pushing blame goes a lot with ethical blindness. So you're putting blinders on to the obvious because it contradicts with your goal.
I'm a victim.
Yes. That you'll see a lot with contests as well, where you see it a lot after the fact, but people get on and complain and they'll say that, like, the judges did something horrible or all these awful things happened and they feel justified in doing that because it supports their agenda and doesn't hurt their self-image because it's somebody else's fault. And you will see ethical blindness typically will be a combination of certain personality traits and context of the situation, you know, depending on how blind this person is being to the ethical situation. There are certain, like, entitled personalities that will sort of be more likely to fall into this sort of situation. You'll see it with a lot with people who, like, always got their way.
No.
So they don't have to worry about it because, like, maybe mom or dad always got them out of, like, a sticky situation or, you know, that kind of a thing. So they're more able to be ethically blind because they cannot do any wrong.
I can't imagine why somebody would be enabled that their entire life and then expect for it to continue into every other aspect. Weird.
Yeah.
That's so strange.
That's a whole other rabbit hole to go down. Right? But like, you've never had to take responsibility for yourself for your entire life. And now, you know, we're just going to expect you to do that? Yeah.
How unfair.
How unfair, right? Like,
why are you so mean, Elle?
I think of, like, the dance moms and stuff and, like, the kids who get pushed really hard for that and, like, their parents teach them they can do no wrong and then they enter a contest for, like, dance or something and then the world is ending because they didn't win because their parents said that they should have won and then that, like, carries over into adulthood. And you'll see that in a lot of contestants in cosplay contests who had that kind of a upbringing are far more likely to adopt this ethical blindness. It's kind of wild how our upbringing can impact our
so strange
behavior and decisions, huh?
All that means is if this was you, now you're aware of it and you can fix it.
There's a high probability that the person behaving in that manner would not realize that they are being spoken of in this moment.
I know, they're probably thinking, wow, what kind of shitty people are these? We're like, it's you.
Because that's the other thing, is a lot of people that participate in that behavior in particular don't realize that they're necessarily behaving in that. It's more of a reactive than a proactive, really. So, like, they don't really understand that that behavior isn't appropriate. Unlike the opportunist who totally knows exactly what they're doing. So that is, like, a proactive thing. Like, an opportunist knows they're being an opportunist. And you will see these people often. So an opportunist is someone that will exploit the circumstances to gain an immediate advantage. They don't really care how they do it. They just want to gain that advantage. You will see this a lot when someone blatantly knows they are cheating. Like, they are 100% aware that they are cheating.
So many flashbacks
to people who are attempting to skirt themselves around the rules when their behavior is very obviously calculated. That is an opportunist. They'll find a loophole somewhere that makes it so they can do this. But typically they also subscribe to ethical blindness because otherwise they wouldn't be able to pull off some of the things they need to pull off. For them, the prize outweighs the behavior. So they're also known as the rational cheater, who they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to do it. They've probably done it multiple times and it has probably been successful.
Yeah, because once it works the one time, then it's more likely to reoccur.
Exactly. And you will see this primarily at contests that have large prizes. So the opportunist is more likely to go to a contest that has a decent prize. However, we have seen this at dinky cons that like offer a piece of paper too. So
yeah, or like random con swag from the dealer's room.
Right.
So I've seen it in all, but it's more likely to be attractive if there is a large prize, and especially if it's cash.
Exactly. Because high prizes increase opportunism. Because they see a way to snag, like, a large sum of money, and then they want to do whatever they need to get it. It's also opportunity for recognition. So a higher prize means more recognition, typically. It's typically going to be a high award. Usually it's larger conventions that can offer decent prizes, so you're going to get that recognition. And an opportunist doesn't necessarily care so much about the consequences of their actions because they're so hyper-focused on that immediate award that they aren't really concerned about the impact on others.
Well, and if they get caught here, they'll just go to another one.
Exactly.
I mean, cons are a dime a dozen, so.
There's very much an egocentric element to the opportunist because they're really not concerned with what anybody else thinks about them.
Which is really funny since they want, you know, that recognition and status.
Right. And they don't care what the lowly people think.
The lowly.
Because in the end, they want the prize to be won, you know.
They're like, you might not like me, but here I am with my money.
So the opportunist is ultimately why you see rules and contests about how many awards you can have for divisions, how many awards you can have, period, for a costume, whether or not a costume has been in a contest before, because enough opportunists have bounced from con to con to con trying to rack up awards. That is the sandbagger. A true sandbagger is an opportunist. But the true sandbagger is 100% opportunist.
True story.
And they are probably the most difficult cheater to deal with because they really aren't going to give a shit about what you think. They'll just go to another con. What they often don't realize is that we all know each other. And you will probably get caught. But the opportunist will also give up if their plan stops working. So if they stop winning, they won't keep at it because it's not worth the work. For them, the work is only worth it if they're getting the reward out of it. There's no intrinsic value to competing for them. But then there's our other cheaters, or more so our butthurt contestants, as I like to say, where they maybe necessarily aren't like full on cheating. But once you've won for some people, or you've put in the effort into your costume, there can be feelings about entitlement to a win, whether you've competed in the contest before or not. And it's understandable. You put tons of hours and time into your costume. You worked really, 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 really hard, and you want to get some recognition for it.
Those are valid feelings.
Those are very valid feelings. But what entitlement does is entitlement supplies the justification for dishonesty. So what happens for a lot of people who you see after the con is over and they complain on social media about losing and they complain about the judges and they complain about all these things is in this process of getting ready for this convention and doing all of this work, they've reframed in their mind that they are simply trying to claim what they already deserve. And then that allows them to feel the right to bend the rules morally in their favor.
Because they're owed.
Because they're owed, or they feel that, well, that convention didn't count, so I should be allowed to compete at this one. We've seen that a lot, where people have made their own rule about, well, I got best in show at this con of only 1,000 people, so I should be allowed to enter a novice again at this bigger con. Even if that's not what the rules say, they've made that justification for themselves because they feel that that's the way the rules should work. They're only gonna change their morality if they feel like it's gonna get them that reward, though. So they're not gonna make decisions unless they feel like it's really gonna be beneficial. And then you also have the people who feel entitled simply because of who they are. And this is where certain personalities come into play. So a person that just feels in general that they are exceptional, or a person that feels because they've been through so much in their lives that they are entitled to good things, that life should be compensating them for all the shit they've been through. Typically, these people have some mental illness that need to be rectified. You will also see this with the contestants that like harass specifically like a specific other person or contestant. The people that try to copy another person, you're going to see that with this sort of mentality. And those are people that, you know, the cons should probably look out for because they may be willing to do more shady things than others. And so it can be a danger if in particular they're after a certain person. So it's definitely something to watch out for conventions, because it may seem like harmless behavior, but it might not be.
Well, and this is why sometimes cons have to put rules in about not harassing other contestants or harassing your judges or stalking them into the bathroom to demand why you didn't win.
Because that does happen.
Parking garages. Yeah, you want to scare the shit out of somebody.
Right?
Corner them in a dark place alone. Like, let's not.
But really, in the end, like, research states that, like, they don't exactly know where entitlement comes from, but they're pretty sure it's a combination of upbringing, social media pressure, how a person processes being special, so what that means to them, and then in some cases, like the extreme we were just talking about, probably a personality disorder or some sort of mental illness. So it's good to just kind of be aware of that, so you know what you're dealing with. But also, their concept of respect also plays a big thing into this as well. Respect not only for yourself, but respect for others means. So if you don't have a lot of respect for others, you're not going to care so much about the rules.
Yeah, because who cares what they think?
Right. You're not going to care so much about hurting somebody else's feelings because you don't have respect for other people.
Well, and clearly I deserve it more, so.
Right. Because that's where the whole thing comes from is I have been through X. I have worked all this time. I have done this. I have done that. And I deserve to win. And my feelings matter more than anyone else's.
Obviously.
So it's that very egotistical mindset that allows people to cheat in a lot of cases. But with that intense pressure now that we have socially and culturally within the cosplay community, as far as social status and being seen and being recognized and being noticed, which is pushed so hard in our culture now and in our society,
mm-hmm.
that you're nothing unless you're noticed by other people, winning increases that social status. And for some people, especially our younger generation who have been brought up with constant social media, that need to be recognized is so intense for them. And being successful, winning, has a direct correlation to social status. You know, when you think about it, if you win contests, then you might get more likes on social media. If you win contests, you might be more likely to get a judging appointment at a convention. You know, if you win contests, more people at cons might know who you are. That's not so much the case anymore, unless it's like Crown or something big like that. But, you know, when you're on stage for a brief moment, the people in that audience are all now going to know who you are. That's kind of part of it, is it can increase your social status. So one of the studies below actually concluded that when a competition does not include social comparison, but happens by chance, cheating doesn't actually happen. When it's some sort of a game where, like, you can't really calculate whether or not you're going to win, the need to cheat doesn't really happen because there's not that social recognition. That makes sense. So, like, if you're playing something where either you're working together with other people or it's more of a game of chance, the stakes are low and the recognition's going to be low, so it doesn't mean as much. This is also why you'll see people cheat at itty-bitty contests, this social status need. Because we have seen people cheat at the tiniest of conventions.
Itty-bitty.
Like, itsy-bitsy one-day cons, and they're cheating. thousand person cons where the masquerade has 10 people in it and they're still cheating because they just need that recognition and they don't care how they get it. They need that social recognition. They need that high. They need to have that happen. Is it ridiculous? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's still something I have a really hard wrap, even after doing all this research, it's still really hard for me to wrap my head around why you would cheat at some dinky ass contest. Like, who gonna see you? Who's gonna care that you won XYZ Tiny Comic Con in the middle of nowhere? Like, who's gonna give a shit? I mean, yes, for a brief moment in front of the like 10 people that are in the audience, you got recognized.
Yay, you.
But like, I don't understand this behavior. Like, I understand this behavior, but because I could never participate in this behavior, it just boggles my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a therapist, I understand this behavior because I work on this behavior with people. As a person, I'm just like, I can't wrap my head around this. I think that's like when I used to work in mental health, every once in a while, we'd get someone who has actually had like sociopathic tendencies or antisocial personality disorder. And I could not wrap my head around the behaviors they participated in because you have to not have a moral compass to participate in this behavior. That's what it comes down to, is if you fully 100% are into this behavior, your moral compass doesn't work because it means you really don't care about other people. And that's where it's important to note that making ethical decisions relies on a firm understanding and caring about social processes. So if you don't give a shit about social expectations, you're gonna do whatever the hell you want. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, for better or worse.
If someone isn't socially competent or they lack a moral compass, they're just gonna do what they want to do that's gonna benefit them the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had clients like this. I have had clients where I have had to teach the benefit for them of paying attention to the needs of other people because they don't have that intrinsically in themselves. Instead of doing the expected thing because it's the expected thing, you have to teach people with certain disorders how the expected thing benefits them so they are more likely to do it. Because it's very hard to wrap your head around that concept of not caring about other people. Although I think in our current society, we are seeing how that's more common than we probably all thought.
Yeah, like a lot of disorders.
Well, but also just in general, like with the pandemic. Finding that people are far more self-centered than I think we all realized.
Oh, yeah.
And why our society is so self-centered has a lot to do with that intense focus on me, 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 as opposed to the whole.
Yes.
And so that's where some of this behavior comes to, is we're kind of brought up with like, you need to focus on yourself. It's about your success. It's about your needs. It's about your rights. And we don't often look at the whole societal picture. And so that's kind of where some of this process comes from. Because you can't really make ethical decisions when you feel like the social context of your decision is fine. So if your reason to compete is to win, and you don't have any concern about other people, and you don't see any value in playing the game, you're not going to have any ethical issue with cheating. Because you're just doing what you need to do towards your goal, which is to win. Like, it just, there's no problem then, because your goal is to win. I don't know, but I don't think we've ever seen cheating actually pay off. I mean, what's gonna end up happening is you're just gonna get on the symbolic blacklist at conventions.
Like you mentioned earlier, like, we all know each other. So if somebody comes and blatantly cheats, it's gonna get around, even if it's just, you know, in DMs, be like, hey, watch out for this person because, hey, watch out for this person because. And especially if the person that's a cheater has socials and are easy to kind of like follow them and where they're going and kind of what they've been doing. A lot of judges talk to each other. A lot of contest runners talk to each other. If it's found out that you're cheating, it's very unlikely that nobody is going to know about it.
I mean, how many instances have we had where we've caught someone from another con that we were already just at? Because it's a lot.
I've lost track. I mean, I do find simple joy in making little like nice comments about like, oh, hey, you know, it's nice to see you again. And then, you know, the deer in the headlight look like, oh my God. I've enjoyed that more times than I would care to. But yeah, it happens. A lot of your judges get around to other contests. They have relationships with other contest runners, especially because if you look at like our region right now, a lot of people that run the contests in our area are the ones that like we grew up with in contests. So it's people we've competed with for years or competed against, you know, several years ago. And there's this like mutual respect amongst all of us. And then so we have these professional relationships that we've developed over time. And if I know somebody blatantly cheats, I'm going to be like, hey, maybe you just need to keep an eye out for this, because this is an experience that we've had. And we've had some people be like, oh yeah, this all about the same person. And it's like, oh well, thanks for the heads up.
I know for sure we had at least one situation where like we judge someone in one location and then judge them again at a con like 6 or 8 hours away.
Yes.
Because the judging pool also is not that big in the United States.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's really not. So don't think that you're safe just because you go 6 hours away.
When any of your experienced judges they're going to know, or at least suspect. Sometimes the contest runners will ultimately make some of those decisions. They're going to know is the easiest way to put it. They're in the judging chair for a reason.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you how we know because we don't want to help anybody cheat, but we do know. We will find you. Well, cheating's just such an asshole move. Like, especially at masquerades that fill.
Like, yeah.
You're taking a spot away from somebody that did the actual work, that didn't get to participate.
Absolutely.
And it's so beyond rude.
It makes me sad.
I know. It upsets me greatly. It really does. But what is our favorite phrase? Read.
The
rules! But I didn't read them. This excuse makes me rage deep inside. Because if you don't read the rules, ethically, you can't break them. And people use this all the time.
I really like it too, because there's usually like a box you have to check or a drop down that says, I read the rules.
I love when cons do that. But a lot of people just scroll to the bottom and check the box.
Well, I know. My favorite's when they hide a random word. They hide a random word like in the middle of the rules and you have to type it into the box to go to the next page.
Oh, I don't remember who did that. Somebody did that. It was great.
Don't remember, but I liked it. And I was like, that's amazing. You can't just go to the bottom and read the rules.
That might have been ASEN. I'm not sure. But yes, whoever did that, you're a genius, because that
when I
is
read
great.
The rules and then I wasn't looking for this word and kind of forgot about it. So then I had to scroll back up and read through them again.
I love that. Take note, runners, because that's a great idea.
Yeah, it was good.
No, people use this to support their ethical blindness all the time. Because if they don't read them, they can't technically be doing something against the rules.
I see this a lot with sandbagging, in particular.
Yeah, this is a major cop-out for sandbagging. Because they'll just be like, oh, I assumed it was fine. Which means you knew it wasn't.
Well, and my favorite thing is if you need clarification, ask the contest runner.
But they don't want clarification.
They don't want clarification because they just want to do what they want to do. Consequences be damned. But if you think that like legitimately, if you think that 1,000-person convention shouldn't count, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. If it's in the rules and you want clarification on whether or not it quote unquote counts, ask your contest runner. And it's going to vary from contest to contest what they say.
Well, and I hate to tell y'all, but winning contests is not going to make you cost famous.
No.
Unless it's TwitchCon or Crown or WCS, something like that. It's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
It's just, it doesn't matter at all. Cons do not care about how many awards you've won.
No.
Sometimes it can help if you want to be a judge, but guesting wise, they don't give a shit. They care about what content you can provide and your follower count. Pretty much it nowadays. So if you think that winning a bunch of contests is going to make you cos famous and then going to make you a cosplay guest. It doesn't work that way at all.
Well, and even if you get awards and that does assist with your like judging dreams, if you have them, first of all, you don't have to win a ton of awards to be a good judge. That's not a metric that I think anybody really goes by. It might be something they look at, but I've only had one con legitimately be like, we want you to have this many awards before we consider you as a judge. And that was a long time ago, and they've changed their stance on that since then. But being a judge doesn't make you famous either. You're stuck in a room by yourself with the other judges and then the contestants, like one at a time. Like, nobody sees you. Nobody even acknowledges who you are. And the show's not about you. So even like when you go and do like your award ceremony, you give out the awards, but the focus is on the winners, like it should be. Like, you're not going to be famous from being a judge.
No, it won't help you. So then the other big question is, why do contests not call out the cheaters? Because a lot of times what happens is they get like under the table disqualified, but they don't, most cons won't actually say anything to the cheater. And that is typically to avoid some sort of social media backlash and to avoid the conflict.
I've seen a handful of things. I've seen people who entered in the wrong class get bumped to the appropriate class, but then still just not win the award. I've seen if there was an issue brought up with a particular part of a costume, but especially if the candidate pool was low and they didn't want to outright disqualify them, the contest runners have directed us to ignore that particular part of the of that particular person's costume, but maybe acknowledge them for other parts. I've seen that happen before. They don't want to flat out just say, hey, we know you cheated. You're disqualified. You can't go across the stage. Okay, thanks, bye. They don't do that.
But really, to stop cheating, there probably do need to be more consequences. I mean, not winning, they're eventually going to stop.
I think part of the problem, too, is that the runners themselves do not feel confident enough to be able to have the argument with the person about the cheating.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they do not feel confident in that choice to be able to publicly do that. Yeah. And they don't want the backlash or the, like, quote unquote, public humiliation for that person, because that's not, I mean, they're still a paying customer of the convention. So they don't want to bring that public disgrace to them by calling them out for that. But then I also think in the back of their head, they're like, well, what if it's wrong?
Well, right. So the thing is, if you were going to call someone out for their behavior, you have to have definitive proof that they cheated, without a shadow of a doubt proof that they cheated, and that is going to be hard to do.
But most of the time, I just see people silently disqualified, but still allowed to walk across the stage.
So then they don't know that they were disqualified.
Yes, which is kind of a travesty.
I know.
In and of itself.
I know. There are days where I'm just like, I really want to tell you what I really think. There's a trend, and I mean, we're recording this in January, so this trend is probably over. But there's a trend with like, hairstylists on TikTok right now where they're like talking to Karens how they wish they actually could have talked to them during a situation. And there are days where I really just want to talk to these people the way that I want to talk to them and be like, no, you were disqualified because you cheated and you can't cheat. And it's wrong.
Yeah, because there's some of them where it is 1,000% obvious and it's just...
But it's not worth it to the convention to get the backlash, so most people will not bother with it. You will see people confronted if it's a much larger contest sometimes.
I see that more so about like social issues than anything else. But yeah, normally we'll, if we have any concerns, because of course it is the convention's reputation ultimately and we want to remain as professional as possible, we'll take it to the contest runner and give them our evidence and pretty much just let them do with that information what they choose to. And most of the time, I think it's a silent DQ and the person just never knows they were disqualified, which is, I have mixed feelings on, but ultimately I'm not the runner and it's not my call.
Well, because we weren't able to disqualify people for many things that we've seen. We have also had multiple people tell us some great stories So we're going to tell you a couple today.
Yes.
But if you have any weird or wonderful cheating stories, please send them to us. I want to do an entire listeners episode on people cheating in contests.
Please.
So much I want this to happen. But we've just had a couple like really silly things happen. I mean, we've had some bigger ones, but the little silly ones are just the best. If you're gonna say you hand embroidered your costume, make sure it's not obviously a stitch that everyone has on their sewing machine.
On their fancy sewing machines. Yeah. If you're gonna claim that you made something from scratch, maybe take the store-bought tag out the back of it.
And also make sure you take the Made in China sticker off your prop.
Oh, that one was 3D printed on.
That's right. That's right. That one was 3D printed, but somehow had a Made in China sticker on it.
It was very nice. Yep. Maybe don't brag about it to people at the con. Like, you know, people related to people that run the contest.
Yeah, you never know who you're backstage with. So you may not want to brag about not making your costume because you don't know if the person you're bragging to might know someone who runs the contest.
Well, and also, like, presumably the other people backstage with you either work for the con or other contestants. So I don't know which makes you a bigger asshole.
Yeah, because you're going to brag to, because this particular person we're thinking of was bragging to another contestant who happened to know the person who ran the contest. So
it's nice.
Like what?
Keeping it classy.
But please send us your cheating stories. We can do them anonymously so that you don't get any backlash if that's what you would prefer, but we really want them.
We love them.
So much. Please send them to us. Because I can only imagine, given what we have experienced, that there are some other great stories out there.
So many stories. And we have so many more stories. But...
Oh, we do. These are the little silly ones that just make us really giggle. Like, there are obviously far more serious cheating stories that we've experienced, but these are the, like, fun little, like... That was just really dumb.
Yeah, the ones where you just kind of like rub your head and you're like, why? Why? Why?
Like, how dumb do you think I am? That's always my question when people walk in with some of this stuff. I'm just like, how stupid do you think we are? Like, what? Like, I may not be an expert in 3D modeling, but I can tell you right now that that prop is not made with 3D modeling.
Oh, people. Oh, people.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your dose of science.
That was a fun ride. I enjoyed
it. It's a wild ride.
I enjoyed reading it, but I enjoyed listening to it more. So.
Right? It's just kind of a wild ride. And we have more of these type of wild rides coming, so if you get any inspirations for any more science that you would like, please
let us know.
DM us or email us. Let us know.
All good things.
Because I very much enjoy the science episodes.
We're going to get out of here. Again, I'm Ash.
I'm Elle.
We are Lovey Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Podcast SCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.